Micah chapter 6. We're starting a new lesson series this morning on walking with God. This is something that I wish every Christian understood. In the Old Testament, in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? There's a couple of verses in the Bible that says the sum total of your life is supposed to be this. One's at the end of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the end of the matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Wow, that's nice, simple, watershed. If God says, I require of you, it'd be like if you take a job and they say, well, for you to fulfill your job, here's the requirements. And God says, now that I've saved you, what I require of you is that you walk with me. And if you don't walk with God and fellowship with God, there's no way you can enjoy the Christian life. And you fail. You say, but I'm saved. You can be saved and on your way to heaven and going to church and not walk with God. I know a lot of people that do. Some do. Praise God. God says, what I require of you is that you do justly, be as fair as you can, love mercy, and I want you to walk with me. Go back to Amos. Look at Amos chapter 3, verse 3. This verse, probably one of the most famous verses in the book of Amos. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The only way you can walk with God is when you agree to submit to the Bible. And when you say, I know what's in my life, I like it, and I don't want to change. When you set yourself against the Bible, you can't walk with God. You can only walk with God as you agree with Him. I agree your word is right, your word is pure. I agree that I'm wrong, and Lord, wherever you touch my heart, I'll change. Why do people not walk with God? Because they don't agree. It can be in any area. My friends aren't right, my music isn't right, this, I ain't changing, maybe next year I'll work on it, something. And then there is no walk with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer is no. God says, when it comes to walking with me, I saved you to walk with me. If you aren't walking with God and your fellowship is not sweet with the Lord, I'm telling you, there's only one reason. It's because me and God don't agree. There's things I want in my life and I like in my life and I ain't changing. I know when I get around to it, you can be saved and not walk with God. I know a lot of Christians that do. Go to Genesis chapter 5 and look at the first time walking with God is mentioned in your Bible. Look at verse 21. And Enoch lived 60 and 5 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. This is interesting. In Enoch's life, he's a 65-year-old man. Then he has a son. You say, how could they do that? Because this is before the flood. The flood happens in Genesis 6, or God starts building up to the flood in Genesis 6. Before the flood, the atmosphere was different. When you breathed in, you breathed in a lot more oxygen. You could run at a full sprint for 6 to 8 miles and never be winded. The atmosphere was different, and your body, it's like your body was in an oxygen chamber. And so people lived to be 800-900 years old. So Enoch is 65 years old. He has a son, and it's amazing what being a parent will do. My dad said, son, I was the firstborn. He said, when you were born, he said, my life changed overnight. He said, my priorities changed. My focus changed. He said, everything changed. My dreams change. Enoch didn't walk with God till he became a dad. And then he has a little one in his life and says Enoch walked with God. From that point on, he walked with God for 300 years. This is the first time walking with God is mentioned in your Bible. Look at verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So now he's 365 years old. And verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. There's two people in the Bible that went to heaven without dying. Enoch is the first one. And then, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. What's that about? Elijah. chariot of fire came down, picked up Elijah, took him. So there's two people in heaven in a body that's just like this that hasn't died yet. They've been there for over 3,000 years. They're coming back in Revelation. Then they get their heads cut off, and then they'll resurrect. But for 3.5 years, the first part of the tribulation, it's so cool. First 3.5 years of the tribulation, they'll be at the wall in Jerusalem, and it says anybody who comes against them, I don't know what they look like. I don't think they're so wrinkled you can screw their hats on, because they've been in heaven. But the Bible says those two men for 3.5 years will preach, and anybody that opposes them, it says fire comes out of their mouth, and they consume, and instant crispy critter. We'll be in heaven when that happens, but I still want to see that, because I wish I had that power. I'd like to go up to Congress and clean up them Democrats. So here's Enoch, and he's 365 years old, and the Bible says he was walking with God, and one day God took him and raptured him immediately to heaven. I think God said something like this: Enoch, I sure do like spending time with you. Enoch said, I love spending time with you, God. God said, Enoch, you want to spend the day with me? Enoch said, sure. And so God took him to heaven. And since there's no night in heaven, Enoch is still spending the day with God. Amen. So, now that's a picture of what? Enoch was taken right before the worldwide flood. What is coming on the world now? Soon the tribulation will begin, but right before the tribulation that lasts 7 years, we'll be raptured out. So Enoch is a picture of us that are saved, being taken out of the world, and then the tribulation begins, which is a judgment on Israel. It's so interesting to think about. Enoch walked with God and he didn't have a Bible. Somebody said, oh, I read my Bible. This shows me you can read your Bible out of duty. I can think of worse things to do with your time, but you can read your Bible and not walk with God. Enoch walked with God and he didn't have a Bible. The Bible is not penned for another 2,500 years. Abraham didn't have a Bible. Noah didn't have a Bible. I mean, nothing. Job had no Bible. Well, let me just read the scriptures. There were no scriptures. The Bible plainly says God spoke to men in visions and dreams, and the heavens declare the glory of God, and creation does. They literally knew how to look at the stars and see God's plan and how God. You can't do that anymore. You say, how come? Because we have a Bible. Genesis chapter 6, look at verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And here it is the second time, and Noah walked with God. Two people in your Bible that are mentioned walking with God, and neither one of them had a Bible. That tells me this: it should be easier for you to walk with God because you can tell what God says. We have more than they did. We know more about God than they did. But please be careful. You can read your Bible as a textbook, as a history book, and out of duty, and not walk with God. Let me see, okay, what's the Bible reading chart say today? Genesis 23, then Psalms, then Proverbs, then, oh yeah, New Testament reading, Matthew chapter. You can do that. When you read your Bible, it's God talking to you. It's supposed to be. It's how you get God's instruction. And you can walk with God because you get His thoughts if you'll use your Bible. Amen? God requires of us to walk with Him. Genesis 1, look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Notice the plural there, our. If you didn't know anything about the Bible and you started in Genesis 1, there's so much you can learn about God in chapter 1. First verse, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The first thing God wants you to know is, I made you. I created you. The next thing you would see is God divides. God is a divider and separator. He divides the light from the day, dry land from the sea. The next thing you learn is chapter 26, God or Godhead. This is the Bible term, the Godhead or the Trinity. God is three in one. He says, let us, man doesn't exist yet, make man in our image. That means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He's three separate, yet three in one. God teaches you that in Genesis. That term, that plural, let us make man in our image, God does that three more times in the Old Testament, where he speaks of himself in the plural. If you've heard me soul winning, give the gospel, you've heard me say this, but the best illustration of God I can give you is of the Trinity is water can be in three forms. Liquid, if you freeze it, it's a solid, and if you heat it and boil it, it becomes a vapor. All three, liquid, solid, and gas, are all they're all just as much water as the other one is. They're just in a different form. That's the same thing with the Trinity. What does it mean God made you in his image? God is three in one, and God made you. I love this statement. God made you to walk with him. An animal only has a body and a soul. God made you a body, a soul, and a spirit. It says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, and we're not going to look at it this morning. When you're lost, before you come to Jesus, your spirit, the part of you that talks with God, is dead. That's why Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again. The part of you that's dead has to get rebirthed so that you can talk with God and have a relationship with the Lord. So John 3:3-7, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. If you die before you get, this is the same thing, getting saved, getting born again, getting converted, getting regenerated, it's all the same thing. Your spirit is the only part of you that got saved. Your body didn't get saved, your soul didn't get saved, your personality. God says, work out the salvation that is within you. Work it out. What's that mean? Let it affect your personality. Let it affect how you carry yourself, how you dress. That only happens as you let salvation affect you. When God saved you, he rebirthed your spirit. Go to John chapter 4. Walking with God is your purpose. It is your function. It is what God saved you to do. God saved you to walk with him and to fellowship with him and to talk with him. And when you don't do that, literally, you miss out on life. Look at John chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, and he's teaching her. She's a half-breed. She's Samaritan. She's a Syrian and a Jew. And he looks at her. He's obviously a Jew. Look at verse 22. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. What's that mean? God used the Jews to do what? First of all, God used Israel, the Hebrews, to give us the Bible. No Gentile wrote the Bible. Then God did what? He used the Jews to give us the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Israel rejected him, crucified him, and made salvation open to us. So salvation is of the Jews through the Jews. Look at verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. I love that statement. God is seeking and looking for people. What's the word worship mean? It means to kiss. It means to be intimate with. It means to show tenderness and affection to. When you worship God, you can only do it in your spirit because God is a spirit. If you worship God, if you love God, if you show affection to him, it is from your spirit that's saved. Look at verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I love this statement. God saved you, rebirthed your spirit, and made it alive so that you could worship him. Worship in the New Testament is private. Worship in the Old Testament was done as a congregation in public. That's why we didn't come to church this morning to worship God. And at our church, as long as I'm pastor, we won't have worship services. We have preaching services. You say, why? Because in the New Testament, look up the word worship, and every time worship was done in public, it was always occultic and satanic. You do your own study on it. That's in your Bible. So worship is something you do not as a group. Your tenderness to the Lord and your affection to God is supposed to be private. That's why this morning we'll sing the songs of Zion and look at what you're singing. It's teaching you. We'll pray together. I'll preach the Bible. We'll learn the Bible together. But where you worship at, where you walk with God at, we're not walking with God this morning in church, although you can, but that's not our purpose. You walk with God in your home. You walk with God at your job. You walk with God during the week. That's your one-on-one time. He's with you all the time. He never leaves you. That's why it's a wonderful statement to know God saved you to walk with Him. Salvation in Christ is not a religion. It's a relationship. Oh, I hate organized religion. How can you hate church when Jesus died for the church? My first question is, are you saved? Look, if you love Jesus, you love a good Bible-preaching church. I don't love all churches. I love churches that preach the Bible. Amen? And no, every church does not preach the Bible. But there's some good ones. One of the Shiflets here. He's from Calvary Baptist Church up in Dundalk. Wait till you hear him. He's a good Bible preacher. I like good Bible-preaching churches because I'm saved. Amen? I don't stand against church like people do nowadays. Well, I don't like organized religion, all this other garbage that you hear. It's a relationship. Jesus said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you till you die. When your heart beats its last beat, I take you to heaven. I'm with you forever. I'm with you when you lay your head down on your pillow. I'm with you when you work every day. I'm with you in your house. I'm with you all the time. How come walking with God is our purpose? If you were with somebody all the time and you never talked to them, wouldn't that be rude? If you never acknowledged their presence? That's the whole idea behind soul winning. Hi, my name's Greg Nash. I'm the pastor of Gospel Light Baptist Church. This is my Savior, Jesus Christ. He saved me from an eternal burning hell, washed my sins away, and took me to heaven. There's nobody like Him. I mean, ain't nobody like Him. And boy, you got to meet Him. That's the whole idea behind soul winning. He's with me all the time. He's with you all the time. Your purpose is walking with God. That's why one of the sweetest things in the Christian life is supposed to be this. As you work during the day, Lord, please help me with this. Lord, thank you. That's why we pray over our food. Lord, thank you. Look what you gave me. I don't care if you bought it in a restaurant or you're eating it at your house. The whole idea is He's with you all the time. The moment a tragedy happens, you can cry out to Him, Daddy, I'm scared. Immediately, He's with you all the time. What's sad is when you watch Christians who say they're saved, and I believe you can be saved, and once again, not walk with God, but I think it's a lack of teaching. They're saved, but when a tragedy hits, they're immediately to the psychiatrist, they're immediately on drugs, they're immediately turning to alcohol, they're immediately, and God is literally the last one they turn to. There's no walk with God. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The confidence in the Christian life, your confidence as a Christian comes from your walk with God. I know Christians that are very insecure. Everything scares them. Here it says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. The saved can be bold or have freedom of speech as a lion. Why? God's with me. If anything bad happens to me tomorrow, God's with me. Then He must decide it's for my good. That doesn't mean I'm not going to cry. It doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. It just means I can trust and I have no fear of tomorrow because He's with me. Well, what happens if you die in a car wreck? Then God's done and it's time to take me home. I don't want to just exist here on this earth. When God's done with me, I want to go home. Not because I'm longing to leave you. I'm saying my confidence comes from my walk with God, my awareness of His presence, and that He'll never leave me. And if something happens tomorrow, I'm not going to tell you as a dad, it wouldn't break my heart to lose one of my kids. I think of this all the time in a car wreck. It happens all the time. I hope it doesn't happen. Of course I hope it does. But if it does happen, I'm going to weep. I'm going to cry. It's going to break my heart. But my confidence says God knew it was going to happen before they were born. And my confidence, it must be then, God, this is something God's going to use in my life. And God needs me to love Him and get close to Him. Daddy, I don't know why, but please, I need your help. I'm broken in a million pieces right now. Everybody understand that? Go to Acts chapter 4. On this idea of confidence, go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, look at verse 12. And see, when the world is turning to horoscopes, well, you know the horoscope. I'm a Capricorn or Pisces or Sagittarius, or, and it says I'm not supposed to leave the house today because something bad. I'm not supposed to look at the stars and determine what I'm supposed to do today, or signs of the time. That's divination. That's the occult. God says that's a no-no. My trust, the future's scary for everybody. None of us know what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, what happens if the stock market crashes? I don't know. you live, you trust God, you walk with God. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us do. I'd like to tell you I'm getting up tomorrow morning. I don't know that. I do know God's with me and God's in control and God knows what's going on. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 12. Watch this. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, notice this verse, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. When you spend time with God and you walk with God, people see. There's a confidence there. Your confidence in the Lord comes from your walk with God. And if you don't walk with God, you're a basket case. Then you live like everybody else does. Well, what happens if this? And what happens if this? I don't know. Brother Hiles used to have a neat statement. Every time a preacher would say, Brother Hiles, I'm getting ready to enter into the ministry and going to be a pastor, and what would you tell me? Brother Hiles' response was always the same. Walk with God. Because he said, there's nothing I can tell you. I don't know what you're going to face. But if you'll walk with God, anything you face, God will help you with. And the troubles change. Experts of teenagers 20 years ago, teenagers are facing a totally different issue. If you're a youth director nowadays, you have to walk with God to help them. Because they're facing things I didn't face. Your confidence comes from the Lord. John 8:12 says, when you walk with Him, He gives you the light of life. He gives you direction. People that are like, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. Are you walking with God? Your walk with God gives you your confidence and your direction in life. So the benefits of walking with God, God gives you confidence that only He can give. God gives you direction. This walking with God and He saved you to walk with Him is all based on how God is angry with the wicked every day. That's Psalm 7:11. Isaiah 59, 1 through 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. So before you were saved, you were separated from God, and God was angry with you. Now you have a relationship with Him because of being reconciled. Now the word reconcile means to be brought together in friendship. If you reconcile, normally that's in reference to two parties that are warring with each other. Well, watch how God uses the word reconcile in the Bible in reference to what happened to you when you got saved. Colossians 1, verse 19, it says, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. Reconcile. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And then Colossians 1:21 says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. When you got saved, God brought you together with Him in friendship. He used to be angry at you. Now, He's not angry at your sin because that's been placed on what Jesus did for you on the cross. You've been reconciled. Yes, Jesus died for your sins, but He appeased God's anger and you could have a relationship with God. God's always enjoying time with you. We know we need God, but doesn't it help you to know that God wants to be with you? From that angle, that makes us want to be with God more and walk with Him. He's reconciled us. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." The word reconciled there is used two times in one verse. The death of God's Son reconciled us, brought us together in friendship. Just to show you one more, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. God says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Now keep that in mind, the ministry, or what we're supposed to all be doing concerning reconciliation, telling others how they can be saved, how they can be reconciled to God. God's angry with you, God's angry with your sin, but God wants to save you, and He won't be angry at your sin anymore because that's placed on Jesus' account, and you can have a relationship with God, and when you die, He'll take you to heaven based on the merits of His Son. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, "To wit, that God was in Christ," here's that word again, "reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So verse 18 says, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. God uses saved sinners to get lost sinners saved. That's, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And what's beautiful is verse 19 says, God has also committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We've been told what to do and what to say. And God says the word and the ministry of reconciliation has been committed unto us. I've always loved verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." We represent Jesus here on this earth. "As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." There's that word again. We're supposed to be praying and talking to people and pleading with people that they be brought together in friendship with God. Why? So that they can walk with Him. The lesson this morning is man's purpose is walking with God. I hope it helps you, and I hope it helps you read your Bible, and I hope it encourages you to spend more time with the Lord.